Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Creating Change. This is your host, Doug Foresta. Thanks so much for joining me again. Today, I'm going to talk about something that, as of this recording, it's the beginning of the new year. And I want to talk about setting intentions. However, it doesn't matter when you're listening to this, because it's never too late at any point in the year to reset and set an intention. If you're feeling like, boy, you know, I feel like I'm off. I feel like maybe I'm not headed in the direction that I'd like to be headed in. It's never too late to start thinking about how to reset your intention. So that's what I want to talk about today. What intention is, I want to give a shout out to Dr. Wayne Dyer, who wrote a book called The Power of Intention. I'm going to talk about intention perhaps a little bit differently than Dr. Dyer did, but I'm definitely going to borrow from his work. So I definitely want to make sure to give him credit. Let me start with this idea of what intention is. And this is where I think I might differ a little bit from Dr. Dyer. One of the things that Wayne Dyer said was that intention was sort of a force in the universe, that it was this actual force that we could tap into. And I guess similar to the law of attraction. I am not, for those of you that listen to me, I'm not a big law of attraction person in the sense in which I think that it's been misinterpreted. And, you know, I don't think that it's enough to just think about something and it will happen. At the same time, I do believe that intention is really important. I don't think that intention is best thought of as a force in the universe, because my personal belief is that the universe just is, whether, you know, the universe doesn't necessarily, it has its own concerns, and it's not necessarily the concerns of the purpose of our life. I think that's something that we ourselves create. And we create that meaning, and we bring meaning to our lives, which is cool, which is part of what this whole show is about, which is creating change. But I do want to share with you this idea of what's called the reticular activating system. And it is it's actually just how the brain works. And if you're not familiar with the reticular activating system, essentially what it does, it's a bunch of nerves at our brainstem that filter out. They do a lot of different things. I mean, I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm not going to pretend I understand everything the reticular activating system does. But one of the things that it does is it filters out unnecessary information. It's responsible for consciousness. And there's so much information that's coming at us in the world that the reticular activating system helps to decipher what gets through, you know, what cuts through all the noise. There was, for those of you that might remember, a number of years ago, there was this experiment that they did where you had to count the number of times that a ball bounced back and forth, and a gorilla actually walks out in the middle of the video, and you don't even realize that there's a gorilla there until after someone tells you, because you're so busy watching the ball bounce back and forth that you don't even see the gorilla. Well, the reason you don't see the gorilla is because of our reticular activating system. It's because you don't process if you're looking for the ball, your brain, your reticular activating system, blocks out the gorilla so you can focus on the ball. That happens all the time in our everyday lives. You know, if we're focused on one thing, we won't see other things that are happening. Also, if you've ever bought a new car, or someone mentioned, you know, cars is, I think, a good example, or maybe you're thinking about buying a new car, you know, and you're thinking about buying this Toyota Corolla, and all of a sudden, everywhere you go, all you see is Toyota Corollas. And you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe there's so many Toyota Corollas on the road. Now, there's probably just as many Toyota Corollas as there ever were. But what's happened is that you started thinking about it, and your reticular activating system has started to filter out so you see more of them. Or, you know, whatever it is, if you think about something, you think about buying a new house, and all of a sudden, all you hear about is, you know, people selling their house. It's probably not because the universe is sending houses to you, but really because you're processing information now in a way that is that helps filter it out. I was listening to a podcast actually by a friend of mine, Adam Leventer, and in that episode, there was an episode he did with the founder of UGG Boots. And one of the things that he said, his name is Brian Smith, one of the things he said was, you know, he said, the universe has everything you could possibly need. I do believe that. You know, there's just about every resource out there. And then when you start thinking about when you need something, all of a sudden you start paying attention to it. And that's exactly what the reticular activating system is. So the importance of setting an intention is activating that reticular activating system, which then filters out and says, this is what I'm going to focus on. Now, you know, I know in my own work as a therapist over the years that one of the things that happens, for example, if you are focused, I've done a lot of work with people who have anger problems, for example. And I remember working with this one guy who said, you know, everywhere I go, I get into a fight. There's always people that are, they just want to fight with me everywhere I go. And, you know, I said, it's interesting because I live in the same town as you and I don't have that experience. So why are you meeting all the angry people? And of course, the answer is because he set an intention unconsciously that when he left his house, he set an intention of anger and he was then noticing and attracting other people with anger problems. They were finding each other. Again, it's not a mystical concept. It's, you know, just the way that he was holding his body and the way that he was balling his fists and preparing himself and the look on his face, he was attracting other people who also were leaving their house looking for trouble. And if you have two people looking for trouble, they'll often find each other. Conversely, if you set an intention for positivity or you set an intention for love or you set an intention for creativity, you're more likely to actually find it because you're setting that intention. But I think setting intention is deeper than just saying it's deeper than a goal. You know, I mean, that's the other piece. Goal setting is great, but I'm actually not a huge fan of goals in terms of, I think a lot of goals are things that we can't necessarily control. And I think day-to-day goals are great, like setting goals like I will cut my calories by 500 calories per day. That's a good goal because it's something that you can actually control and it's measurable. But, you know, setting goals, for example, that are just beyond your control. You know, I will start a podcast that gets 10,000 listens within the first month. That's a really hard one because the problem is you can't control whether the other person is actually going to listen or not. And, you know, it may take some time for that podcast to actually develop the listenership that you want. So a goal like that, I really don't like. And that's where I think intention comes in. So I'll share with you for myself, you know, one of my intentions for this new year is to make new connections, to make powerful new connections with creative people in the new year, to have meaningful, powerful conversations from podcasts. That's my intention, is to have more meaningful conversations, to open myself up to the next part of the journey. That's my intention for the new year. And the goal, I guess, of how I intend to do it is to have more people on my shows, including I'll be bringing some great guests to you on Creating Change here, as well as, you know, other places. So that's an intention for me. So the question is, how do you then go about, you know, if I want to set an intention, how do I, as Dr. Dyer said, activate your power of intention? And I'll share with you, here's where I will borrow from Dr. Dyer's work. This is what he says. This is what Dr. Wayne Dyer says about the process of intention. He says it takes place in four stages. And the first one, he says, is about discipline. And so the first stage is discipline, building strong habits and realigning with your body. So doing the things you know you should do. So the question then is, for example, in my example of I intend to have powerful conversations that create possibility with, you know, with highly creative people, the discipline is I've got to get them scheduled, I've got to get them done, I've got to get them edited, I've got to get them out. That's the power of, you know, that's that power of intention, the discipline part of it, right? So think about that for yourself. If you're thinking about discipline, if you're thinking about, you know, what is my intention, right? So the first part is that discipline. What do you need to do on a daily basis in order to live out that intention? And this is where I think sometimes the law of attraction is something that, you know, a lot of times people say things like, yeah, I'm just going to focus on thinking about having a new Mercedes and I'm going to get a new Mercedes. That's probably not going to happen because you're lacking the discipline of, well, what are you going to do? What are the changes you're going to make? So think about that. Maybe write down for yourself, you know, that first step of what do I have to do differently? You know, what's my intention? A, what's my overall intention? Where do I want to head? And then B, what do I need to do differently on a day-to-day basis? What is the day-to-day discipline that I need to engage in? You know, one of the disciplines really could be just keeping your intention focus first and foremost. So that's another piece for me is, you know, I want to keep my intention written out on a piece of paper somewhere or on my computer and every day wake up and just look at that and commit myself on a daily basis to heading in that direction. It's like if you're heading, if you're going on a trip and, you know, say, okay, I'm going to go to LA, right? And you head out and you're going to, you know, you're not taking a plane. So you're there a couple hours, but you're taking a, you're driving to LA from the East Coast. And for those of you that are not from the United States, that's basically across the United States. So if you're going to do that, that every day you wake up, you know, you drive as far as you can, you stop, and then you wake up and you say, okay, I'm headed to Los Angeles and this is where I'm heading, right? So that's part of that discipline too. You know, making sure that you keep that destination first and foremost in your mind, that is its own discipline. So that's stage one that Dr. Dyer talks about. The second one is wisdom. Combine wisdom with discipline so that you integrate your thoughts and feelings with the work, with your work. So how do you do that? You know, there's a modality of therapy called DBT, Dialectical Behavior Therapy. And I actually have alluded to it in some previous episodes before, but one of the things that DBT talks about is this idea of wise mind. So that when we make decisions, for example, if we make decisions only with our emotions, then we're missing out because we're not connecting to our logical selves. But if we only make decisions based to our logical selves, then we're missing out on our emotions. And wise mind is that perfect blend, or not perfect, but a blend between our emotions and our intellect. You know, if you think about Star Trek, if for those of you that are Star Trek fans, you remember, you know, Dr. Spock and then, you know, and the Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk sort of represented more of the emotional self and Dr. Spock was the logical self. And they kind of really complemented each other because they both brought that, you know, the yin and yang. So how do you tap in to that wisdom? How do you connect your heart and your mind? Well, I think one way to do that is definitely meditation. I think that I've also mentioned before heartmath.org. If you go to heartmath.org, there's some great exercises and heart math to do, but just tapping in and sort of just taking some time to be still and connect to ourselves, that is certainly one of the ways to develop wise mind. And I think all of us tend to lead one way or the other, like the Myers, if you're familiar with the Myers-Briggs, some, you know, we either tend to be more logical or more emotional when we make decisions. So if you know that you tend to lead with the emotional self, then what you want to do is you want to take some time to meditate and connect to your body and ask yourself, how do I feel about this intention? If you know that you are someone who leads more with the emotional self, then what you'll want to do is drop in, you know, with meditation and ask yourself, what do I think? So whichever one you tend to lead with, then you just want to make sure that you are compensating by making sure that you ask yourself, if you're leading with feeling, how do I think? If you're leading with thinking, how do I feel? That's a great way to develop wise mind. The next one is love, loving what you do and doing what you love. And of course, there's so much that's been, you know, spoken about this idea of doing what you love. And I think that, you know, Joseph Campbell talked about follow your bliss. So there's been lots talked, you know, been lots said about doing what you love. But at the same time, when it comes to intention, I think, again, the idea that is not that we're going to love every moment of what we have to do in order to get there, because I certainly have found that, you know, there's lots of tasks or things along the way to get to my intention that I may not love. You know, I might not love just, you know, writing out emails and sending out emails to people and scheduling and things that are kind of mundane. I might not love those things, but I do love having conversations, authentic conversations with people that I really admire. So that part I do love. And I think that one of the misconceptions that we have is that if we're doing what we love, that we're going to love every moment of the process. And that really isn't the case. You know, even people that do what they love doesn't mean that everything that you do is what you love. It means, I think, that you love what you do so much that you're willing, you know, you love the intention so much that you're willing to do what it takes to get to that place. It's kind of like exercise. You know, if you decide, okay, I'm going to exercise, Well, exercise is fun when you're done, you know, and you feel good after you're done, but it doesn't always feel good in the moment. It doesn't always feel like, boy, I'm, you know, as you're doing it, it might not hurt, but certainly it's uncomfortable, right? It should be somewhat taking you out of your comfort zone. I will say that, you know, one of the things we can do as entrepreneurs is if you're finding that there are tasks that are just stopping you because you either really, it's just not your sweet spot. It's really not what you're, you know, it's really not what you're best at, or it just is something that is, you know, you just like, boy, I can't do this. It's just so boring to me or just so difficult. Get some help with it. You know, get some support. I mean, one of the things that I've been asking myself this year is what support do I need in order to live out my intention? I know that I can't do everything myself. I have too many things that I do to do every single thing myself. So therefore, you know, I have people that help and support me, and that way I'm able to focus on my intentions. And that goes back to that idea of reticular activating system. You know, what are the things that I need to focus on? And if there's tasks along the way that maybe aren't really the things that I need to focus on, how could I maybe let go of those and delegate them out? Delegation is definitely an important part, I think, of intention. And that's the idea of intention too, is that it's really saying, I'm going in this direction. This is the direction I'm going in and not this one. But again, like I said, you know, life happens and there's things that we still have to do. So anything that doesn't directly relate to your intention, those kinds of things you either want to let go or delegate. And even within the things that are in your intention, if you ask yourself, what are the things that I really need to be doing most? And what are the things that maybe I could delegate to others to make sure that I stay on task? And the fourth one is surrender. And this is an interesting one. I'm going to say a little bit more here about this because I've been thinking about surrender quite a bit and the idea of letting go as a way of moving forward. Now, there's sort of a paradox here because if you only let go, if you just surrender, then you won't ever get anything done, right? There's no way that you can just surrender your life and lay in bed. And I've said that before. I really believe, you know, this show is called Creating Change for a reason, because I believe that change has to be created. You know, we need to actually get up out of bed and we need to take steps in order to actually create change. At the same time, creativity and, you know, if you're manifesting something, a creative work of some kind, it's not always about the harder you work, the better it will be. At some point, there has to be some level of surrender. Your conscious ego is not always going to create the best possible outcome for you. So it really is kind of a paradox. And, you know, what I mean by that is that, for example, you know, if you're working on a novel, it's not necessarily the case that if you write for 20 hours, you're going to write a better novel than if you write for 5 hours. It's not necessarily the case. Creativity, as Thomas More says, you know, creativity just isn't fair in that way. It doesn't just automatically reward hard work. A lot of it is other things, you know, just being in the zone and flow and these other things that are kind of harder to just make happen. So there's an Indian saying, a Native American saying, that one cannot push the river nor pull the sprout. And it's this idea that we have to allow life to happen, the surrender. And I think this is that part that really is kind of a paradox when it comes to intention. And I think it's what Dr. Dyer was getting at when he said that intention is a force in the universe, is that on the one hand, we really do, I think that it's really impossible to set a direction and reach powerful goals without actually having some active intention, without sitting back and saying, all right, what do I want to do for this year? What is my intention? Where am I headed? What is my overarching place that I want to be, right? So that's really important. And it's really important to get the discipline down. It's really important to make sure that we're taking the daily actions to get to where we want to be. And yet at some point, we actually need to release to some extent and let go. Now, how does that work? I mean, how does that paradox work? I mean, I can tell you from my own life that the only way I can explain it is I set out many years ago to do several things. I set out to be a writer. I set out to do some form of media. I set out to be a copywriter. I did a lot of different things, and not all of them worked out. And yet at the same time, if I look back right now and I say, okay, I actually have achieved a lot of my intentions, just not in the way that I thought that I would and not in the time that I thought that I would. So somehow those intentions kind of creeped in along the way, even though I didn't really fully understand consciously that that's what was happening, because I was just busy living my life and doing the things that I enjoyed doing. I really believe that it has to do with, I think the best way I can sum up the paradox is, it's the thing of we have to attach and then let go, and attach and let go. So we have to take action, and then we need to detach lovingly from the outcome of those actions. And I think that's the best way that I can think of resolving the paradox of intention, where it requires both difficult work, it requires energy, and yet it also requires letting go. And I think the letting go is because, like I said, it's like with the podcast, you know, if you're going to start a podcast, that requires a lot of energy. It requires you to get ready, figure out the topics, you know, if you're editing it yourself, doing that, lots of different things. But then when you put it out into the world, there's a sense of release that you have to have of, I'm going to put this out in the world. I can't actually control whether 5,000 or 10,000 or two people listen to it. And I have to, you know, I have to just kind of release that and then see what happens and pivot accordingly. So it's that detachment from the outcome that I think is the surrender. I also think that the surrender is also about what our intention is in the first place. That sometimes, you know, our ego might have us believe, you know, we're so sold in this, in our society, on what success is, right? Success is more money. Success is having a nicer car or a bigger house or whatever it is. But maybe that's not actually what your intention is. Maybe your intention for the new year is to have more loving moments with your family. Maybe your intention is to be a better writer this year. Maybe your intention is to be healthier, or your intention is to just be closer, you know, feel more connected to your soul, which is, you know, again, a hard one to measure. Only you could really measure if you're achieving that goal or not. Those are all perfectly valid intentions. And I think that that's part of the surrender too, is to really honor what our soul is calling us to. So again, for me, I feel like what I'm called to this year, when I think about intention, is truly about, I think of it like chapters in a story. And I'm open to allowing the next chapter of the story, the next characters and mentors to appear, and being open to that and allowing that to unfold, allowing those mentors into my life, allowing these new powerful conversations. And the surrender to me is, I don't know what's going to come from that. And that for me has been true in every aspect of my life. It was true when I left the hotel so many years ago, you know, 15 years ago when I left the hotel, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, but I knew I was going to do something else. When I left college and when I left the 9-to-5 world many over 20 something years ago, and I left corporate America and said, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I didn't know exactly what was on the other side, but my intention was to live a free creative life, which I have. And so I really do believe that, and it has been my experience, that intention can be very powerful. And again, that we need to at once really be disciplined about what it takes on a day-to-day basis to live out that intention. And at the same time, practice surrender, practice letting go and allowing your intention to unfold. Because what ends up happening is many times it's like, you're going to go back to that trip to LA. When you're on that road to Los Angeles, you may think to yourself, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to stop here. But you might actually end up stopping in new places, and you might meet new people and eat new foods and have different experiences than you ever thought you had. And at the end of the day, you still end up in Los Angeles because you are steering the car in the right direction, but you don't know what's going to happen along the way. You don't know. Maybe you get there a week after you thought you did, you know, and or maybe in some cases you end up in Texas, and that's perfectly fine. And everything you thought you wanted in Los Angeles ended up in Texas, right? Just using some examples here. So that could happen, right? But at the same time, when you look back, you may say to yourself, you know what? My intention was to start a new life. My intention was to live whatever this kind of life was. That was my reason for moving to Los Angeles. And yeah, now I didn't make it to Los Angeles. I made it to Texas, but I did everything that I wanted to do. So I wish for you a wonderful year ahead, regardless of where you are in the year. And remember, at any point, you can stop. And if you feel like you're headed the wrong direction or something is off, it's never too late to stop, pause, and reset your intention. Remember, till next time, keep creating. The world needs your voice. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.